7:35, you're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning, I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. We're broadcasting live from the RowAutoGroup.com studio. Don't forget, our McBetty's Hearth and Home text line is 207-409-6172. You can find out more at StovesOfMaine.com. We were talking during the break. Didi's here, Joe Bruno's here, and we were talking about RFK and the testimony. At one point when Bernie Sanders was questioning him, Bernie was going off at him, and he finally said to him, he didn't call him senator, he said, "Bernie, you took more pharmaceutical money than anybody." And Bernie's like, "No, they were all small dollar donors." He said, "Bernie, in 2020, you took more pharmaceutical money than anybody." I went and looked it up. Guess what? He was right. Elizabeth Warren has taken $5.2 million over the accumulation of her career, going back to when she beat Scott Brown back in 2012. But Bernie took the most in 2020. These people are shilling for pharma. I mean, it's as wrong as wanting to go after pharma because you hate pharma.
I mean, we all know that Washington is corrupt.
It is the most corrupt city in the world.
It's despicable what happens with these people. All the trips they get and all the outside money they get that is not reportable. It's just disgusting. And, you know, why politics is, you know, there was a chart that came out, the most respected professions. Happy to say pharmacists were number four.
Yay!
But politicians are
Where did talk shows rank?
You know what?
They weren't ranked.
I think you were right around the car salesman.
Yeah, they weren't ranked.
But I mean,
they were so low, there was no standard to measure.
Who got the worst rankings are politicians. And, it's understandable.
It's because we don't believe them.
Because they lie about everything.
Right.
Just listen to Janet Mills' speech the other night. It was nothing but lies. The idea that Maine's economy is doing great is nothing but a huge lie.
So here's what she did. She's been governor for 6 years. There have been 24 quarters in her 6 years. She's had two quarters where we had economic growth at 2.4%. Mm-hmm. But overall, it's been a cumulative 1.4%. That is not economic growth.
Yeah.
But she cherry-picked those two quarters out of 24.
Yeah.
So 22 quarters under her leadership, we did not have decent economic growth. 2.4 is okay. It's not robust,
right,
but it's okay.
Right.
If you had a sustained 2.4%, you'd probably be long-term happy with that. But it was two quarters out of 24. So 22 quarters, we were below 2%.
Right.
But they just, what she should say is, look, I would respect her if she did this. Look, we've been hard at work here.
Yeah.
We had a very difficult pandemic here. We shut down for a long time. It was very hard for a lot of businesses to come back. There was still a lot of work to do. We're making progress, but we're not where we need to be. No, she said Maine's economy is growing. Employment is growing. 17,800 businesses were created last year. There's no one with a functioning brain in Maine that believes that.
Yep.
And she said that incomes grew 25%. Well, I don't know where she got her statistics, but mine came from the U.S. Census.
Yep.
And the U.S. Census does not say that.
Right. And, you know, if I can now, speaking of business growth, we are buying a pharmacy in Rockport.
I think you should go to DeMillo's tonight to celebrate that.
So, you know.
Is this your ninth?
This is number nine.
Number nine. Hang on. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a pharmacy mogul.
I don't know if I'm a mogul. I don't know if I would have done it had I known that the 70-cent prescription tax is going to be foisted upon us, because that's a huge money loser for my company. And so, but I'm excited.
Where is it?
In Rockport.
Rockport. That's a cute town.
Yeah, it's
the
Kennebec Professional Pharmacy and Home Care that was there. We're purchasing that. The former owner is a friend of mine who approached me, and he just wanted to get out. And, I don't blame him.
Don't blame him.
It's a tough environment for retail pharmacy.
But
right
Joe
now.
Bruno's not done, ladies and gentlemen. He's still punching.
I'm a fighter. And I still think pharmacy is a respectable profession, and we want to keep the independent pharmacies in Maine. I don't want to put them out of business like Janet Mills does. I think they serve an area usually in small towns where you're not going to find the big chains. And that's where we are. If you look at my distribution around the state, it's in rural areas.
Right.
And we're the only game in town, and often.
Jeff Preble says he still wants you to bring your pharmacy back to gray.
Well, we were there and until 2004, and you never know. My non-compete is up, so I can go back in. But
you could go back in, and the thing about it is, 9's a good number, but 10's a really cool number. Hey, it's double digits.
Let's not forget, we had 17 at one point.
Yeah,
17.
Sold them off.
Sold them off.
Yeah.
So.
Well, now you're back in a growth mode, and I congratulate. First of all, in sincerity, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
So the name will change to Community Pharmacy.
It'll be Community Pharmacy of Rockport.
Great. Of Rockport,
and the employees are all staying.
Rockport is a wonderful town.
Right.
And so I'm sure you will be
right across
successful.
The street from Penn Bay Medical Center.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow.
And so
that's kind of convenient, isn't it?
So, we hope if you are a current customer, we hope you stay with us. And there's going to be some hiccups along the way. But we're going to get them straightened out, and we hope you enjoy the customer service that we provide.
Well, let me give you and Mrs. Bruno a little advice. Tonight at DeMillo's, this prime rib night, you could go and celebrate the acquisition of the new pharmacy.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, don't you think?
I like it.
Do you know who could tell you more about it? Steve DeMillo.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's joining us now. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for the idea for Joe to celebrate tonight. We'll be there, Joe, and the prime rib is delicious. But it's also National Hot Chocolate Day.
Whoa, whoa, slow down, white man. What'd you just say? National Hot Chocolate? I love hot chocolate.
It is, I know. And today, Friday is International Hot Chocolate Day, so naturally we're making it boozy. So fly by for our Kentucky Hot Chocolate Station featuring Jim Beam Black, a mountain of toppings. Yes, whipped cream counts as a food group. And all the cozy vibes. So we've got someone that's going to be hot dipping Maker's Mark glassware in the lounge. And you'll be able to enjoy a nice Maker's Mark bourbon or hot chocolate. And then take the glass with you, which is, if you think about the Maker's Mark wax coming down the bottle.
Yeah, sure.
That's what it's all about.
Steve, I'm not a big drinker. I'm not, but our heat has been out in our home since Wednesday midday. They're trying to get it fixed. It looks like we may have to put in a whole new unit, but I think maybe a little boozy hot chocolate would warm us up.
A little bourbon never hurts.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
So my wife, Dee Dee, makes the most amazing hot chocolate, and I like marshmallows, the little bitty ones. The big ones are great, but sometimes they're messy, and I like it with 8. And she always puts 8 in there to make sure that it's perfect.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a martini.
I'm sure we'll have mini marshmallows.
What's that?
I mean, martini, you have to have 3 olives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dee Dee can speak to that, can't you, Dee Dee?
Yeah.
The other day we were somewhere and she had a vodka martini and they gave her 2 olives. And
that's unlucky, you know.
Well, she made sure it was filled. Well, let me rephrase that. She made sure I had it filled.
If you read some of the stuff on martinis, even number of olives is unlucky.
Really?
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Look back on the history.
I love the olives that are machinated in vodka. I love them. Yep. I think the olive, the rich, full taste of the olive with the taste of vodka is great.
That's why you steal them.
Yes. I love that taste. Absolutely. You know about that, don't you, Steve?
I do. And I'm not an expert at martinis, but I do enjoy one now and then.
Yeah. Blue cheese olives. I mean, that's really going overboard right there.
The blue cheese olives are the best. Yeah. I used to love the almond stuffed olives, and Dee Dee loves the pimento, but
the Stonewall Kitchens.
Yeah.
I like the garlic ones too. Yeah.
Blue cheese olives are the best.
Yeah.
Blue cheese are the best.
Do you serve blue cheese olives, Steve?
We do not, and I am sorry to tell you that I really buck the trend for Italian people because I do not like olives. There's two things I don't eat. Olives and coconut, Joe.
Steve.
I know.
Well, there's no coconuts in Italy, but olives? They're everywhere.
I love olives.
Do you like olive oil?
I love olive oil.
Okay.
Drink it.
Okay, yeah, of course.
Well, my wife went shopping yesterday and came back and said, have you seen the price of olive oil?
It's crazy.
$21.99 a bottle now. So
I thought Donald Trump was going to bring that down. I mean, he's been in office 9 days.
Yeah.
And we 21, 90, we buy a bigger bottle than that. We go through it like crazy. My wife cooks with olive oil all the time, and in the morning she makes avocado. She takes avocado, mishes it up on a plate, pours olive oil on it, a little bit of sea salt, and puts it on toast, and it is delicious.
Yeah.
So what time is she serving that this morning?
We're coming over.
We actually have April Murray coming in today, and she's going to serve us delectable treats. But if she wasn't, I would be calling your wife and saying, I know it's rude to invite yourself, but, you know, my mom's not around anymore, so she can't scold me for being rude.
So Steve, I know Janet Mills is a customer of yours, so you have to be nice. Did you watch the speech the other night?
I didn't. I watched the highlights and listened to Ray the next morning.
So there was no slant on that.
She wants to be known as a pro-business governor, but I just don't see it. There's just no financial restraint there on her and the whole Democratic legislature. They just keep spending money.
Mm. Yeah, and it's not only that. It's all the regulations that people don't know about that they put on a business. Yeah. I mean, it's harder and harder to follow it, you know, and you get surprised every once in a while going, what? So. Yeah.
I know. Well, Joe, during the legislative season, we have a legislative committee with Hospitality Maine, and our legislative coordinator is Nate Cloutier. And we'll meet today at 9 o'clock on Zoom and discuss all the legislation that affects our industry. And we'll handpick which ones we're going to drive up and testify against. I prefer to do it in person. You can still do it online, but I like to drive up there and see people face to face. But it never ends. It's and of course, this biggest one was the Paid Family Medical Leave Act. And,
right.
There's probably no chance of changing that. My buddy Fred Forsley is hell bent on rallying troops to do something about it, but not with Matty Daughtry as the Senate President.
Right.
And that's her baby, and that's. It's terrible for business.
And she stood before the public and said how wonderful this was and how many people are so thrilled about it. But people didn't know about the tax. Freddie spent about 45 minutes with me a couple weeks ago on the air. And I will tell you, I've known Fred for 35 years. I've never heard him speak so forcefully against something so political. I've never heard it.
Well, you are correct. He's passionate about it. Well, he's right. And we had the opportunity to adopt a voluntary program such as the one in New Hampshire. And no, we've got this benefit-rich program or statute or policy that's going to create all kinds of problems in the workplace because people are paying for this. They're going to want to use it. Can't blame them.
Well, think about this for a moment. And I talked about this yesterday with whomever was here. I don't recall. So according to Governor Mills' office, we have 680,000 people that work full and part-time in the state of Maine. According to the AARP, there will be 166,000 people who will use this program when the benefit is available. That represents 25% of the workforce. I mean, at some point, somebody's got to wake up and say, you know, look, we want to try to work with people when they have family troubles, but my good Lord, let's not cripple Maine. 25% of the workforce annually will use a 12-week leave. That's the AARP saying this. It would likely be more. To be honest, they're paying for a benefit. Why won't they use it? As someone pointed out here yesterday, you got a 25-year-old, and they can make 100% of their pay and work, or they can find a reason to have 12 weeks off and get 90% of their pay and go to the beach. Let's be honest.
Right.
Attractive to workers, and I respect our workers.
Of course we do. That's how they always want to couch it. Well, you don't care about people. That's a load of crap. My wife took care of my mother for 9 months when she was in the throes of dementia. It wasn't her blood mother, although they were very, very close. We didn't get government help to do that. We did it because it was our responsibility. Once again, though, employer is now daddy. But if daddy wants to say, hey, Joe, you know, maybe those cigars that you're smoking and the alcohol you're drinking is bad for you. You could get sued for that. But when it comes to making sure that employers get hurt, well, then they're going to stick it to daddy. It's the weirdest thing. They just don't. This is an anti-business state. We all know it. We're ranked 47th right now in the country for business climate. And it's just getting worse. But this 25% of the workforce, according to the AARP, they've done an exhaustive study on it before this was ever done. 25% of the workforce is going to take 12 weeks off annually to take care of family. I mean, Steve, if 25% of your workforce goes, what do you do?
I don't know. I mean, we've already scaled our operations back since COVID and the issues with staffing. Our menu may be scaled back again because to accommodate these shortages in staff.
You know, Steve, you and I are both employers, and we love our employees. And if they run into a hard time, we work with them to make things better for them and not put any more stress on their life that they're already going under. I'm pretty sure you do that. And most business
every day, Joe.
Right.
Every day.
And most business owners I know do the same thing. We try and help our employees. They are part of our family. We don't become successful unless they believe in us and what we're doing. So we offer the same benefit, but why are you taxing them? We already offer it to them for nothing, and we work with them if something comes up. I don't understand the mentality of Democrats in the Maine legislature that don't understand that as employers, we take care of people.
Yeah, Joe, it's just nonsensical. They're just driving more businesses. Well, not only driving more businesses out of the state, but they're certainly making it less attractive for business to set up here. You know, if we, you know, if the tariff program, the tariff ideas the president has really come to fruition and manufacturing comes back to the states, Maine's the last place they're going to set up shop.
Right. Look at all the paper mills and lumber mills we used to have. I mean, people worry that as tomorrow, you know, we're starting the tariff on Canada. And we buy a lot of lumber from Canada right now because it's cheaper than manufacturing it here. But if you put a 25% tariff on that lumber, a lot of these mills in Maine will hopefully prosper from that.
Yeah, but they don't look at it that way. Right. They've been led to believe this is Donald Trump and this is evil and all of that nonsense. But the fact of the matter is our textile industry, our paper mills, they've gone the way of the dodo bird here in the state of Maine, with the exception of maybe two. I think they were either six or eight when I moved to Maine 40 years ago, and it's because of public policy. I've told this story many times. I'll tell it again. Didi and I were invited in 2006 to go up and tour the J Mill. The J Mill manager used to run a mill in South Carolina, and I asked him in front of the group, what was the difference between Maine and South Carolina? And he said very simply, in South Carolina, they want you to succeed. In Maine, they don't. It was just that clear.
Yeah,
isn't that too bad?
Yeah, it really is. All right, I want to give you guys a funny one. This comes from the sage of Kennebunk, Bob.
I was just reading that.
Bob says, I remember there used to be a bar just north of Greenville, Maine, called the Cranberry Bog. I once ordered a draft beer, and it came in a mason jar garnished with three olives. The waitress said it was a poor man's martini.
I love it.
Hey, maybe it's a new trend, Steve. You can borrow that one. See if anybody gets on with it. You know, actually, olives marinated in beer might taste pretty good. You never know.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know.
Yeah, that comes from a southerner. They need anything.
I'm not really a beer drinker, but yeah, I'm not really a beer drinker. But you know, I don't know. I like olives when they were flavored. You know. I mean, with certain things, absolutely. All right, we're at the fun part of this. Tell us what's going on today.
Well, you know what? Chef didn't send me out a dinner feature for the weekend, so I am sorry to tell you that. But I'm, of course, you can always come and enjoy a delicious crab cakes or sautéed mussels with featuring Ray's sweet and spicy mustard. Probably Joe might have served with Kevin Ray at one time.
I did. I served with him. Yep.
Yeah. So, which is delicious, but. You know, one of my favorite items that she just put back on the menu is the fiery calamari burger. I like to eat.
And this fiery calamari burger?
Oh, Ray, it is so delicious. Sriracha-dusted fried calamari, ancho aioli, lettuce and tomato, quick pickled onion, and pepper jack cheese on a butter-grilled brioche bun. It is delicious. I like to eat, and I only eat a half. I usually split one with somebody that's hungry, which is always somebody around me hungry.
Yeah. Well, of course. I mean, you're in a restaurant. As you know, Steve, my brother, who had come back from Italy not long before, he said that your calamari was better than any place he found it in Europe.
Well, that's a nice compliment. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. Well, Steve, prime rib is always on the menu.
Oh, yeah,
Friday and Saturday nights.
Those in cuts, well, prime rib, they're just delicious.
While it lasts.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
While it lasts.
I know. So, I'm hungry now, Ray.
Well, I actually had hoped to go there tonight, but because my furnace is out and it looks like we're going to have to replace it, we won't be seeing you at the restaurant for a while, Steve.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I've been listening to the saga
of the furnace, and I'm sorry that you're in that situation, but it sounds like you got the right guy to.
Oh, we do. Charlie Shepard is the best of the best. He's our neighbor and friend, but he also has CNC heating, and he's the best of the best, and he's doing everything he can to help us out. And, you know, I mean, this happens to people all the time. I'm just grateful, and I said this to Dee Dee, that it didn't happen while we were at the inauguration, so we couldn't pivot.
Right.
So what were you saying?
Oh, yeah.
I was saying that they have DeMillo's does online orders, so you can either pick it up or you can go to the number two, dine in and order it from them, and they'll deliver it.
Really?
You're the best, Dee Dee.
She is the best. There's no doubt. Go to the number two, dine in, and you can order from DeMillo's?
Two, dine in.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
Do they deliver out to Raymond?
Yeah, they do, but by the time he gets there, it's cold.
I ran into your buddy Ben last night at Bruno's. We had dinner at Bruno's last night.
Oh, yes, Ben and Amy, sure.
Yeah, so you could run up to Red City. I haven't been there yet, so I got to get it on my...
Oh, well, we got to get you and your wife to go with us. We'll tell Ben and Amy we're coming, and we'll get Joe and Mrs. Bruno to come and
make a party.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, it'll be good.
It's a date.
We will do that. That'll be fun. Hey, Steve, we got to run. As always, we appreciate you and appreciate your willingness to stand up and go up to Augusta and testify.
I do.
Yeah, all right, do. Steve. Good to see you.
Thanks again.
See you guys.
You got it. 7:57.
We fix people by fixing their car. I like being part of that.
It's a great feeling knowing that you've done something that looks good and you know.